EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we thought?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
We're about to take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. Our guest tonight is Brad, and he comes to us from Ontario, Canada. In 2014, Brad and a friend witnessed a UFO while they were camping at Kilbear Provincial Park. Brad will be sharing this and some other sightings, as well as a paranormal experience at 666 Francis Road. But before we hear from Brad, I'd like to take a moment to thank all of you that have left a 5-star ratings and review at Apple Podcasts this week. And they are Vector Reeves, Baron Werewolf, Olor 622, Scooter Fox, Maria Brink 34, and last but not least, Cape Ken. Sharing the podcast with your friends and leaving a review really helps the show to grow. So big thank you to everyone. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Brad?
Hello, how are you?
Great to have you on today, calling from Ontario, Canada.
Yep, certainly.
Great stuff. Thank you for joining with us today. Now, you're going to be sharing two experiences, the first being a UFO sighting at Kilbear Provincial Park and a haunting at Francis Road.
That is true. Yeah, we got the two stories for you.
Great stuff. Would you like to start with Kilbear, please, Brad?
Sure. So I narrowed it down to the end of the summer in 2011. And my best friend and I had gone up to the campground in Kilbear to, it's actually a spot that we had gone to many years in a row with our families. And as we got older, it was just us starting to go up. But my parents had actually had a campground or a campsite rented for the week. So we were going to split it with them. So we went up halfway in between. I believe it was a Wednesday when we got there. I'm not sure exactly the day, but we got up there and had some drinks and enjoyed our time with my folks. And then when they took off, we just started enjoying the campground. And that first night that we were there, around probably 1 a.m. after having a fire and hanging out for a while there and just catching up, we started walking down the shoreline. So it's off of Lake Huron, but it's in Georgian Bay, which is a large bay that's off on the east side of Lake Huron. And we were walking across, and one of the things that caught my eye is just how still the water was that night. It was I'm not sure if it was a full moon, but it was definitely bright enough moonlit night. And we were walking along the beach there, and I had my guitar and I had my my cuffs on my pants rolled up, and I was standing in the water actually just playing my guitar, and we're just walking across the beach, and we are stopped, and my friend Steve turned around and said, "Well, what the hell is that?" And I looked up, and in the distance there was a radio signal tower with three red lights on it. And I said, "What, the signal tower over there?" And he said, "No, that." And he grabbed my shoulders and spun me around, so I was completely facing the woods now, not the water that I had just been facing. And we saw a white orb that was going across the tree line, pretty slow, but quick enough to wonder what it was, because it was so low. It was just over the treetops, maybe by 100 feet or so. And it was going in between bright white to bright orange, back and forth. And it almost looked like it had some type of a shimmer or a shake to it as it was moving across the tree line. The whole sighting only lasted about 10 seconds, but we got a good view of it, and we were looking at it just saying, "Oh my gosh," like the entire time. We couldn't believe what we were seeing. And then it got right close to us, and then there was almost a clearing in the woods a little bit, and it shot off at a 90-degree angle from where it was. So I would say it went northeast, and it turned into a streak of light like a shooting star. So the instantaneous change in direction is one of those things that me being an avid UFO interested person, I immediately knew right there that this was something that was amazing. And it wasn't in the day of there wasn't many drones, that kind of thing. I think it probably had started maybe a little bit, but this thing definitely didn't move anywhere close to a drone. So the instantaneous acceleration and change in direction were one of the things that really got us. And so after that, we had talked about it, and it lasted only a few seconds. So it was one of the things that we talked about for the rest of the weekend that we were there. And we still, to this day, can't figure out exactly what it was. I looked for any kind of news articles about it, but nothing had been seen either. So that was that was the first time I saw it. Now, after that, a week to the day from that, I was at home. I was on afternoon shift, so I got home around 11:30 or so. And I went to my kitchen to start cooking, and I was looking out my door there, that it's a French door, and I looked up and I saw the same white light coming towards my house, and it changed orange. And I said, "That looks exactly like what I had seen." So I opened the door and I went outside, and sure enough, it was identical, but it looked like it was much further up. And it kept on flashing between white and orange until it got directly over my house on a starry night, so there was no clouds in the sky, but then it just blipped out and it was gone. So I obviously started looking around to see, having a better look, whether or not there was clouds in the sky, but it wasn't. It definitely, there wasn't a cloud that it had gone behind. I know that satellites and everything, they'll move in one straight line, maybe they blink or something, but for the most part, when I see satellites, it's always a continuous light and it's a continuous direction. They never go out. So that was one of the things that got me. And then later on, I thought I saw it again two more times, actually. Whether or not it's the same one, I'm not sure. I just know that these are the same type of sightings that I've seen over the years. The next time was when we were at a family cottage. We had rented a cottage up north, and my brother and I were standing on the dock, and we were talking about actually one of his UFO experiences when he was probably around 15 years old, and that him and his friends had seen something when they were at the mall, when they were out in the parking lot, they had seen something quickly. I forget exactly what the story was, but as he was telling me that story, I looked out, and it was an incredibly windy night. I remember we got in trouble from the neighbors because we had had a fire going and the wind was blowing so ferociously towards the neighbors there that they had to come over and tell us, can you put the fire out because you're just smoking us out. So we had put it out, but we were staying on the dock and the winds were coming towards us. And I looked up in the sky when he was telling me this story and he was looking kind of the other direction. And there was a large white light right in the sky. It was about the size of a green pea, if you were to hold it up in your hand. So it was quite big. And I told Scott, I said, do you see that? Do you see that? And by the time he looked over, there was a cloud that was ironically shaped like a UFO. And it had come towards the light and enveloped it. And then I think he might have seen just the last tail end of it before it got into the cloud. And then the cloud went directly over us and there was nothing left in the sky and there was no stars in that general area where it had been, but it was so large that it definitely wasn't a star anyway. So that's another time that was odd. And then the last time was when actually my friend of mine, Phil, who mentioned this podcast to me about however a while ago, we were going up to the cottage. This was a couple winters ago and we had been driving through a snowstorm. It was an incredibly bad snowstorm. We were lucky to make it there in one piece. But by the time we got there, it had completely cleared up. And for the last 20 minutes of the drive, it was completely clear and the storm had passed over us. So when we got there, it was around 11 o'clock. And we went inside and he was putting his stuff away. And I went into the kitchen and I grabbed a drink. And then I went outside on the balcony and it was 11:11. I remember that because I said to myself, well, it's 11:11. I'm going to go have a look outside because I'm always looking for UFOs. And while I was looking in the sky, sure enough, the exact same pea-sized white light lit up in between two tree peaks. So the reference point that I had when I was looking at it was in between two tree peaks with a clear sky behind it and no clouds in the sky. And it lit up and it shimmered and then it went out. So it was lit for about 2 or 3 seconds. And I just shook my head and it was exactly where I was looking when it lit up too, which was amazing because you can be looking at one side of the sky and miss it totally if it happens on the other side of the sky. So right where I was looking, it lit up. And I remember thinking to myself, that was amazing. But what would be more amazing if you could light up one more time for me. And sure enough, in the exact same spot, about 5 seconds later, it shone a little bit brighter probably than the first time and a little bit longer and then went out. And I was elated because I thought it was amazing since it had been in the exact same spot over a period of 5 seconds, you can rule out planes or satellites or whatever else could be probably in the sky making that much of a light at the same time. So I was pretty happy about that. So I'm not sure if it's the same one, but those are the 4 times that I've seen something.
Interesting. Did you ever report the sightings?
No, I never reported them other than just telling my friends and family probably that we had seen that, or at least me and Steve had seen it, but we never reported it to MUFON or anything like that. It
might be worth having a check to see if there was any reports in the area.
Yeah, that probably would be worth it. I'm not sure exactly the dates. That's the problem. I'd have to go looking back on that. But the one above Kilbear would probably be the one. I did look for news articles, but of course, maybe a MUFON report would be a little bit better than that. That's the only place I could think might have a record of it, but that's something to look into for sure.
Good stuff. Now, what was the Perry Sound?
So the Perry Sound was an article. I guess I sent that to you. It's one of the areas in Ontario that has a heightened amount of UFO sightings. I know that there's been many theories that there's actually underground or underwater bases in Lake Erie. Georgian Bay is close to that area as well. And people have seen UFOs skimming across the water, whether it be orange lights. Now, whether or not these are actual UFOs, nobody can really tell, obviously. But there's been many sightings in that general area. So Perry Sound was the direction in which this thing shot off after it was coming towards us. It was coming south and then shot off probably northeast towards Perry Sound. That's why I sent you that article.
Yeah, so it looks like it's quite an active area.
Yeah, indeed. I know that my parents have actually seen something similar to that. That we live in that area up north, they live up north in Ontario. They're probably about 2 hours north of Toronto. And where they had been camping, I'm not exactly sure where it was, but I think it was on Lake Erie, they had seen two red glowing lights going across the water, pretty far out. And it definitely, they were large lights. So it definitely wasn't a boat because it was traveling way too fast as well. And the funny thing is that one went out and then the other went out. But later on that night, everybody in the campsite or in the campground were all talking about these UFOs that people had seen over the lakes. And that was, they automatically got on the phone and started calling me and letting me know what had happened.
Well, interesting. Get them on the show, Brad.
I know, right? We can get them on sometime soon, I'm sure. They're a little bit skeptical, but I've told them all the stuff over the years. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, just researching, like we had discussed earlier, just how much research goes into these unknown mystery topics. I put 14 years in. I'm sure you're at least around there too. And it's a lot to get in, but you know, the older folks, sometimes it's tougher for them. But when they see it for their own eyes, you know, sometimes they have to see it. You can't be told about these things. Sometimes you need to see it for yourself.
And they did see.
Yeah, they saw something. They definitely, well, the entire campground, apparently, at least that side of the campground where they were that night, they saw those two large red orbs going across the water much faster than any boat would be able to go. And I think it probably covered a large, large portion of the lake too, because they said they were watching them for at least 30 seconds going across the lake, and there's people all along the beach. I think it was just after dusk, so it was early nighttime when they had seen it.
Interesting. Yeah, and they can do it anonymously. We can just call them Mom and Dad.
Yeah, sure, Mom and Dad. Yeah, we can call them in. Maybe we'll get them in. They could tell you the story about that.
It can be a whole family affair.
Yeah, for sure.
Great stuff.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Would you like to move on to Francis Street?
Yeah, so 666 Francis Street. I had to double check the number on it, actually, because I know my friend, I when I walked up to the house on the day that my friend had asked me to come help her move some stuff, she said, this is my address. And when I got to the place, I couldn't believe it. But sure enough, it is that, whatever kind of meaning you want to put behind it. But 666 Francis Road, yeah, that was, I believe, in the summer of, no, actually it was the fall, because there was snow, fresh snow on the ground. So it probably was in November-ish. And she had called me kind of frantic and asked me to come help her move some stuff, because all of her roommates had basically moved out and ditched her. And she's a good friend of mine. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll come help you out, because I had a truck at the time too. And I was going to come over there and give her a hand. So when I got there, we were hanging out for a bit, and it was daytime, and we started talking, and I said, so what happened? I never really met any of her roommates, but I had been there once before. And I remember asking, why did your roommates move out on you? And she proceeded to tell me that they had been getting haunted by something in the house. And she knew that I would be open to hearing any of her stories and not giving her any grief for it or being a disbeliever. So she started telling me about how she had two roommates, a guy and a girl. And I don't know what happened to the girl. I tried to get some more information out of her, but she's been busy with work lately and she never got back to me about it. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to get any more. But from what I can remember her telling me about what happened before my own experience in the house, something had happened to the girl, and it was kind of put off as in nothing's wrong with the house, or nothing's in the house. And then after, the guy that was living there, he lived upstairs on the second floor, or his bedroom was up there, and he was sleeping one night, and they all worked, at least the two girls were waitresses. So they were both out that night at work. And as he was sleeping, he started hearing basically boots walking up the stairs, something very, very loud coming up the stairs, thump, thump, thump all the way up. And he could hear it coming down the hallway. And he had no idea why the girls would be home that early, and also why they'd be so loud coming up the stairs. But by the time they got to his door, it started rapping on the door extremely hard, smashing a smash on the door and jiggling the door handle. So he started yelling at them, saying, you know, get out of here, I'm going to sleep, stop screwing around, right? And it got to the point where it had lasted long enough that he shot up out of bed, ready to, you know, open his door and scream at whoever was waking him up. And he opened his door and nothing was there. So he ran down the stairs because he figured that they had run down the stairs and hit or whatever. And the doors were locked. Nobody was home. And then he realized that he was in the house alone and that had just happened to him after what had ever happened to the other roommate as well. So shortly after that, they both decided to leave the house. And it was so quickly that they actually didn't pay the water bill or the electricity bill. So when I showed up to help remove some stuff, I didn't know any of this, and nothing in the house worked. There was no running water. There was no electricity, whatnot. She had told me that basically they had just moved out randomly because of a ghost, and they didn't bother paying their half or their third of the rent. And she was getting footed for the bill. So there's a long story behind that and just how everything had turned off. So I said, okay, well, what do you want to move? So we went down into her room. She was in the basement, and it was a room. And beside it, attached to it, was the furnace room. And it had bifolding doors on the furnace room. So I went downstairs, and as we were sitting there, she was telling me about that. She had also been having really, really strange dreams, terrifying dreams about an old man that was dragging her into the furnace room from her bed into the furnace room, which was right beside it. And, you know, obviously not doing great things to her. And she would always wake up terrified. And it was a very scary situation for her. So after her telling me about these things, first about her roommates and leaving because they're thinking they're getting haunted, and then telling me that she's having these dreams in which this guy's trying to attack her, all of a sudden this ball came down the stairs. So like somebody had thrown it at their hardest pitch down the stairs, and it hit a wardrobe at the bottom of the stairs, and it just scared the living crap out of us because we were both right in the talking about ghosts. So this thing comes down, hits the stairs, and oh my god, what the hell. And then her cat comes down the stairs. So I automatically said to myself, well, what's the most logical explanation? It's probably the cat had just maybe tapped it down the stairs. Now, how forceful that was, I'm surprised this small cat was able to put that much force into it. But we had to go with the cat being there now, and the cat had come down the stairs. So we are kind of just okay with it being the cat, and we kind of laughed it off. But within seconds of the cat coming down the stairs, we started hearing footsteps on the floor above us in the living room, and then what sounded to be a dragging something and claws going across the floor. And as soon as it started, we looked at each other, and it went on for about 10 seconds of these boots, boom, 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 and a drag, and boom, 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 and another drag. And you could hear the clawing or something. I'm not exactly sure what the sound was, but it was definitely something being dragged across the floor. So I ran upstairs, assuming that somebody was in the house for sure. And when I got up there, there was nobody there. And we had all been in the basement. So the three living beings, me, her, and the cat, were all in the basement at the time. And there was no explanation as to what the sounds were that we had heard upstairs. So needless to say, I said, what do you need to move out of here? Let's go. Let's take this stuff. And I helped her move some of her stuff out and take her down. And she didn't live there for much longer after that.
Spooky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I don't know if I'd want to live there. And she obviously doesn't live there anymore.
No, she moved out right after that happened. So I'm not sure what happened to her bills, but she definitely left there. So, and I double checked, and well, it's obviously still there. It's a complex, so it's renting units, so it's definitely still there.
Oh, that's good, because if she still lived there, we'd have to remove the address, because else she'd be getting at the door.
Yeah, exactly.
People do that. People do that. Wow.
Well, with any luck, the thing in the basement would take care of those bills.
Yeah, exactly right. Want to get out of there as soon as possible.
As soon as they start mentioning a furnace, you always think of Freddy Krueger, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the dreams too. Can't forget about the dream too. So a little bit of a nostalgic ghost there, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes they just don't want to. They don't want to be moving themselves. They want everyone else to move out.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. Yeah. So that's all. Pretty much with that story. I don't have too many more ghost stories other than that. A couple odd chandelier maybe moving here and there at a friend's house. Actually, a funny part of it, well, not a funny part, one of the parts of the story is that my friend and I, my best friend that had gone up to Kilbrae, our friend had unfortunately died suddenly when he was 16 in front of me. Definitely unfortunately. But and his ashes were actually scattered at Kilbrae. And then we had thought after that, there was a time where we were at my friend's house and we were talking to these girls that were there with us. And I was in the kitchen. I was in the fridge getting something. And he said, "What's that?" And then I turned around and the chandelier was moving behind them. And they said, "What's what?" And he goes, "Look at that behind it." And then the girls freaked and they wanted to go outside. So we weren't sure if our friend had been doing that maybe to them or something. But it was odd that the chandelier was there because he was in within arm's length distance from me, and that chandelier was definitely moving when I turned around. So that's another oddity, but something little.
Yeah, maybe just saying hi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's, I definitely believe that there's positive spirits as well. Maybe who are stuck here. Maybe there's some type of a guardian angel on people. But then obviously there's the negative spirits as well that can get stuck and just continue to exude the negativity maybe that they were stuck in their own lives. I mean, I would love to put our entire conversation about all the other conspiracies and everything in the world on that, but I know this is just a mostly UFO show, right, Mike?
Got to be very careful what I put on.
Exactly, and we know that the censorship is just nuts right now. So if you're talking about ghosts and UFOs, you're probably safe. They're not gonna come and start cutting off your podcast for those types of mysteries that are going on.
It depends what I, you know, because obviously I get contacted by a lot of military individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's a problem for them to come on, especially if they're vets.
Yeah, like David Fravor, that kind of like the pilot, right, for the Pentagon UFO, the Tic Tac UFO, that kind of thing. Like, I think that he had been afraid to bring his identity out as well until To the Stars Academy began their thing, and that's a whole nother topic as well, as whether or not they're being 100% truthful with everything that is going on over there. And I know that they have ex-military, ex-Pentagon officials like Luis Elizondo working for them and that kind of thing. So sometimes I wonder if that is where the distraction card might come from. If we do get some type of a mass arrest scenario, that they would bring that out and say, "We do have crash craft," because apparently they had been briefing the Senate Intelligence Committee on the fact that they did have crashed UFOs, right? There was that one astrophysicist that used to work for NASA, but now was working for a company affiliated with the government somehow. And he briefed the Senate Intelligence Committee on the fact that they had crashed UFOs. So that was just recently. That was just this summer that came out. So
they definitely have them, all right. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting stuff. What they actually have and what kind of what that black budget is paying for is for anybody's guess, I suppose. You know, just sit back and wait and watch and hope for some type of truth to come out of it, especially about UFOs. Now, considering we have the Senate Intelligence Committee voting on it in 2021 to have all of the declassified files coming out of the Pentagon and the military, as well as the Tic Tac Nimitz encounter, how they released those UFO gun camera pieces of footage that are destabilized and only a snippet of them, we can still see for sure that the AVT, which is the audio video tracker, was able to lock onto them. Their witness testimony is just almost undeniable, because when you're in a plane trying to catch this thing and it does a 90 degree turn and then goes straight down into the water or a foot above the water in less than a second, and it dropped 36,000 feet and then went into the water, and sonar was getting picked up from the strike group submarines that they had there. I don't know. You can't get much better than that, right?
Exactly. We need more witnesses to come forward now.
Yeah, a little bit more witnesses, but we need some type of some type of government admission. It's a good stepping stone to get them to admit that the Tic Tac was indeed real. But this type of thing, I'm sure, has happened for many, many years. There's been going back into World War II. I know that's where the famous catchphrase Foo Fighters came from. The band Foo Fighters, they were named after what pilots had seen in the skies during World War II, because they didn't know what they were called. And saucers hadn't been coined yet over Mount St. Adams. I forget who coined the term flying saucers, but it was another pilot, I believe military pilot. Mount St. Adams is a whole another story as well.
Indeed. It was Kenneth Arnold in 1947.
Mm-hmm. And I also wonder about Admiral Byrd going to Antarctica as well, because there's declassified journal entries and stuff, but there's in the Freedom of Information Act, I believe that was used to get out Operation High Jump, that was Admiral Byrd's voyage to Antarctica to try to root out any Nazi camps that were there and bases. And his entire fleet came limping back, only for him to say that there was some type of military force out there that's almost very formidable, I guess. Oddly enough, soon after that is when there was the flyover over Washington, D.C. I don't know if you remember that. There was like 7 glowing UFOs that flew over Washington, D.C. for a weekend, 2 or 3 days straight, I think. And that was right after the Admiral Byrd incident, from what I remember. So some people think that it was the Nazis coming over and basically saying, you have to have Operation Paperclip opened up and let all of our scientists into, you know.
That's it. Yeah, that was 1952.
Yeah, so I don't know when Operation Paperclip took place. I think it was just after that, or maybe in and around that time. And that goes into the whole theory that, you know, that there's a Nazi secret space program, that they had channelings from what they call the Vril Society, which is an inner Earth based ET group, the Nordics, some people call them, and also maybe some type of discussions with reptilians, whether or not they were from channelings like Maria Orsic would channel these things, apparently. Whether or not they got blueprints for UFO stuff and everything, it's hard to say exactly. But what we know for sure is that a lot of our tech came from bringing Nazi scientists over, and they went into NASA, they went into the government, they went into all types of high level areas in the U.S. government. And then shortly after that, we had Kennedy, who was assassinated. But, you know, like all these dots, you can connect them all day, all night, and it's hard to put a peg on anything for sure being truthful. But, you know, that's all we can do is try. And that's why one of the great things about your podcast is that at least we start taking in some of the mysteries, possibly from our space family, possibly from negative VTs. Who knows exactly what is going on out there?
Like they say, you know, the truth is out there.
Yeah, it's just really hard to get at.
Exactly, yeah. Once it's there, it's below the surface. It's like a big iceberg, isn't it? You know, what you see it above is the surface, and then there's everything below.
Yeah, like the tip of the iceberg is what we've been told, a little bit here and a little bit there, but nothing concrete and no physical proof. And I'm a strong proponent of that humanity needs proof. They need 100% proof to hold in their hand, or have government sources tell them that, yes, we know and have contacted ETs, or we definitely have crashed UFOs not made from this earth or whatever. But they need that proof, because after all these years, if this is, you know, an entire kind of consciousness matrix that we've been placed in to believe that all of these dividing factors is just the way it works in the world, and warring countries and all that, and money and pharmaceuticals and all that stuff, if it's all interconnected in a big web of lies, humanity needs that one large piece of proof to be able to hold on to, because I think that we deserve that over all of these years that we've had to go through this stuff. You know, like, I don't think there would be a massive awakening of humanity unless there was some type of major disclosure event.
Well, Brad, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing all this for our listeners.
Thank you very much for having me, Nick. It's been my pleasure.
Okay, take care of yourself, Brad.
Thank you, my friend. Take care, Nick. Bye.
That is all for this week. Keep connected and updated on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you or a family member have had an encounter and would like to share it on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or head to my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com, and reach out to me via the contact page. All links in the description of this episode. Big thank you to Brad for sharing, and thank you for listening. I will be back next Sunday with more witnesses and encounters. Till then, my friends, stay safe out there and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.
Tell her that you killed me when this is through. She dreamed this most every night. And you can go and tell her that she was right. We both sat on her horse late at night. She always said it'd be you. My wife, but that is why I came, to say hello, shake your hand, and tell you your name. Your name is son, and now I die.